All right, let's dive deep. Imagine strapping on more than just a watch. I mean, you're wearing a piece of history, right? An engineering marvel, and quite possibly a significant investment.
Absolutely.
Today, we're journeying into the unparalleled world of Patek
A
Philippe.
giant in watchmaking.
Since its start in Geneva, way back in 1839, Patek Philippe has kept this unbroken legacy, crafting timepieces that are just the pinnacle of luxury and horological
They
excellence.
really are synonymous with that.
So our mission today is to explore what truly makes this Swiss brand legendary, from its groundbreaking innovations, its iconic collections, to the surprising stories woven into its fabric. We want you to walk away understanding why these aren't just watches.
They're much more.
They're legacies, true
That's
legacies.
the perfect word for it.
And when we talk about legacy, we have to start with a pretty monumental moment in timekeeping, the creation of the world's first wristwatch.
A huge moment.
Picture this. 1868, Patek Philippe crafts this revolutionary device for Countess Koskovich of Hungary. Now, okay, it was initially conceived as more of a decorative piece of jewelry, yes.
Was beautiful, but functional too.
Exactly. But that singular moment really signaled the dawn of the wristwatch era. It was kind of the beginning of the end for the pocket watch
It
industry.
really shifted everything.
And it's also fascinating to think about who owned these pieces. Historical giants like Queen Victoria,
Royalty, right?
the brilliant Albert Einstein, and even the literary titan Leo Tolstoy.
Wow, that's quite a roster.
Quite an endorsement, wouldn't you say?
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
And what that list of owners immediately tells you is something crucial about Patek Philippe.
What's that?
Their unwavering commitment to both technical innovation and traditional craftsmanship. It's this duality.
Yeah.
This isn't just about making watches, it's about continually pushing the boundaries of mechanical horology.
So constantly innovating.
Constantly. They consistently lead in creating some of the most complicated mechanical timepieces. And impressively, the brand holds multiple records for the most expensive watches ever sold at auction.
Right, those crazy auction prices.
And this dedication, it goes right down to the fundamental principles of how they make them.
You bring up such a critical point about their manufacturing. It's not just the intricate mechanics we hear about.
No, it's more.
It's that legendary human touch. What does that truly mean for a brand of this caliber? How does it contribute to the mystique?
Well, it means that every single component of a Patek Philippe timepiece, from the case, the dial, to the microscopic inner workings,
Every little bit.
every bit, it's created and hand-finished with an almost obsessive level of care. This isn't mass production, it's meticulous artistry.
Not churned out on a line somewhere.
Definitely not. This ensures strictly limited production numbers, which, in turn, fuels their prestige. This fusion of rarity and perfection. That's what elevates these pieces beyond just telling time.
And that rarity, combined with their reputation for, well, enduring quality, that really highlights why Patek Philippe watches are seen as such serious investments, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Many limited editions or specialty pieces from the brand often double, even treble, in value once production stops.
Exactly. It's why that famous saying resonates so deeply. You never really own a Patek Philippe watch, you merely look after it for the next generation.
Ah, yes, I love that line.
It just perfectly encapsulates the understanding that these aren't fleeting purchases. They are intergenerational assets.
Built to last.
They're crafted with the intent to be heirlooms, really, to connect generations through time itself.
And speaking of those astonishing valuations, let's look at some of the pinnacle pieces that really underscore this investment potential.
Some incredible examples out there.
Take the Patek Philippe 1518, for example. This, I mean, astoundingly beautiful steel perpetual calendar
A
chronograph.
legendary watch.
It sold for an incredible $11 million in Geneva back in 2016. What was it about this watch that made it such an irresistible oddity, as some called it, in the luxury market?
Well, the insight there is why that steel 1518 was so revolutionary. You have to understand the context. At the time, steel was considered, well, a utilitarian metal,
Yeah.
almost basic. It was rarely used in high-end luxury watchmaking.
Right. They preferred gold, platinum.
Exactly, precious metals. So for Patek Philippe to craft such a complicated and prestigious watch, a perpetual calendar chronograph, no less in steel,
Yeah.
that was a bold move, almost
That
defiant.
sticked the cream.
Totally. It elevated the material itself and challenged those traditional ideas of luxury. It proved that exceptional craftsmanship and complexity, transcend the material value alone.
Interesting. So the steel itself became part of the story.
Precisely. But if we're talking truly legendary one-off pieces, the Henry Graves supercomplication, it just stands alone.
Ah, the supercomplication. The name says it all.
It really does. Commissioned back in 1925 by American banker Henry Graves Jr., and the story goes, he specifically wanted to outdo a rival's complicated pocket watch.
A bit of one-upmanship there.
Absolutely. And Patek Philippe delivered. They created a mechanical pocket watch with an astonishing 24 functions.
24. In a pocket watch.
24.
Yeah.
Including things like sunrise and sunset times, and even a celestial map of New York as seen from Graves' apartment.
That's incredible detail.
It took 3 years just to design it, and another 5 years to actually manufacture it.
8 years total. Wow.
And when it last sold at auction in 2014, it set a new record. Fetched an astounding $24
million. $24
million. It's a genuine marvel of horological engineering. Just breathtaking.
24 functions in a pocket watch from 1925. That precision is just mind-boggling, isn't it?
It really is.
It truly underscores that these aren't merely timepieces. They're tangible pieces of history carrying just astonishing investment potential.
History on your wrist or in your pocket, in that case.
Okay, moving from these record-breaking masterpieces, let's shift focus a bit. Let's explore some of the iconic collections that really define Patek Philippe's enduring genius.
Right, the families of watches.
And we absolutely have to start with the Calatrava.
The quintessential dress watch for many.
Exactly. This meticulously structured, perfectly circular collection is recognized as Patek Philippe's flagship. Launched in 1932, right after the Stern family took over the business.
A pivotal moment for the brand.
And it takes its name from a 12th century Spanish order, the Calatrava Order.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the design philosophy was heavily influenced by the Bauhaus art movement, embracing that less is more school of thought. So for a luxury watch, what was the impact, or maybe the meaning, of adopting such a minimalist design philosophy back then?
That's a great question, because it was a very conscious decision. It was about distilling elegance down to its absolute purest form.
Simplicity as the ultimate sophistication.
You could say that. Yeah. The Bauhaus influence meant clean, linear lines and an absolute timeless simplicity. That original 31mm round bezel, a pristine, clean dial, usually a white face.
Mm-hmm.
It sat low on the wrist. It just exuded this understated elegance that really defied fleeting trends.
So it wasn't about flashy design.
Not at all. And while the collection has evolved over the decades, it still retains that same sense of modest perfection. You'll find subtle ornamental patterns sometimes, maybe on the bezels, or hand-applied solid gold numerals on the dials.
Beautiful gifts.
But always in service of clarity and that core simplicity.
And beneath that elegant simplicity, the Calatrava boasts some pretty astounding mechanics, right?
Oh, absolutely. Many of the more recent designs are powered by the brand's famous 215 PS movement. Some vintage models use Patek Philippe's trademark 12-400 caliber.
Different movements, but same philosophy.
Essentially, yes. Regardless of the specific movement, all Calatrava watches are manually wound, and they share those fundamental design principles. And each one is handmade.
Handmade. How long does that take?
It can take up to 9 months to produce a single Calatrava.
9 months. Wow.
Which is why, for many collectors, it remains the unrivaled perfect dress watch.
Okay, from the classic Calatrava, let's talk about something a bit different.
Moving on. Now, for those who appreciate mathematics and aesthetic balance, watches don't come more fascinating than the Patek Philippe Golden Ellipse.
The Golden Ellipse. Even the name sounds intriguing.
It's a brilliant demonstration of Patek Philippe's unique approach to design. It was introduced in 1968.
1968. That was a pretty tumultuous year globally, wasn't it?
Extremely. Marked by events like the Vietnam War, Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination, but also, the first manned spacecraft orbiting the moon, Apollo 8.
Right, a year of massive upheaval and change.
Exactly. And amidst all this global unrest, Patek Philippe made a very calculated decision with the Golden Ellipse.
So they released a watch that was, an anchor of serenity in a chaotic world?
That's a great way to put it. It really epitomized that tranquil appeal. Originally, it featured only hours and minutes, tiny indexes around a very no-frills dial. And at launch, serene blue was the only color available.
Just calm and simple.
Precisely. And the proportions of this beautifully designed piece were based on the ancient Greek golden ratio.
Ah, the golden ratio. I have heard of that.
Also known as the divine proportion. Mathematically, it symbolizes total harmony and balance, this ancient formula.
Yeah.
It creates this naturally pleasing visual balance.
So things designed with it just feel right.
Instinctively, yes, even if we don't consciously recognize the formula. It defines the proportions of some of history's greatest works of art and architecture. You know, the ancient Egyptian pyramids.
Wow.
Even things like the Apple logo and apparently the proportions of the human body itself.
So it's everywhere.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And that same kind of scientifically proven charisma of calm defines the case shape of the golden ellipse.
It's not quite round, not quite square.
Exactly. Neither circle nor square. It was a bold, very slender watch that quickly won hearts. Today, the collection includes two main men's models, while ladies' golden ellipse watches are now quite rare vintage market finds.
Fascinating. From mathematical harmony to, well, something completely different again. Let's pivot to another icon.
The Nautilus.
Ah, the Nautilus. The luxury sports watch that arguably started it all. This collection is just synonymous with sporting elegance, isn't it? It's epitomized what every great sports watch should be since it first came out in 1976.
76. Another key date.
And the legendary Gerald Genta was the mastermind behind this one.
Genta, yes. A true genius of watch design.
Drawing inspiration, apparently, from Jules Verne's Nautilus's submarine.
And maritime portholes. You can see it in the design.
You really can. Its unique design features that rounded octagonal-shaped bezel and the horizontally embossed dial, which creates this seamless, classic sport style.
Those horizontal lines are iconic.
And you'll also notice those tiny oracles sticking out from beneath the bezel, the ears, some call them.
Mimicking the hinges of a porthole.
Exactly, enhancing that whole impression. The watch was built to be solid, robust, constructed as a single piece with an integrated chain-link bracelet.
A very distinctive bracelet, too.
But Genta's choice of material for the Nautilus was, well, pretty audacious at the time. Why was using steel for such a luxury timepiece in the 1970s such a radical departure?
That's really the crux of its revolutionary appeal. I mean, in the 1970s, luxury watches were almost exclusively made of precious metals. Gold, platinum.
That was the expectation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Steel was seen as utilitarian, almost common. So for a brand like Patek Philippe to launch a high-end sports watch, priced similarly to a gold watch, mind you, but made of steel, that was a truly bold statement.
It must have caused a stir.
It absolutely did.
Yeah.
It redefined luxury in a way. It demonstrated that value could come from design, from craftsmanship, exclusivity. Not solely from the material itself.
You're shifting perceptions.
Exactly. It allowed Patek Philippe to capture a whole new segment of the market. People who wanted luxury, but with a more casual, robust aesthetic. And of course, now.
Now steel is everywhere in high-end sports watches.
It's standard. It just showcases Genta's incredible foresight. Over 40 years after its initial release, the Nautilus has remained eternally popular. It's evolved into a full collection for both men and women.
Still highly sought after.
Incredibly. You can find current models in steel, rose gold, white gold, two-tone combinations, and rare models like the Nautilus 2499 are highly sought after by collectors.
It's a true icon.
Building on that theme, though, of adapting to changing tastes, in 1997, the Aquanaut created a real sensation.
The Aquanaut, newer but also very popular.
Yes. This collection was born with a youthful, modern design that was honestly a complete surprise to many watch connoisseurs at the time.
How so?
Well, its inspiration came from the Nautilus's rounded octagon case, sure, but it introduced a truly innovative element, a revolutionary tropical strap.
Ah, the rubber strap.
Exactly, made from a new composite material. Yeah. This strap was ultra-resistant to wear, salt water, UV radiation. It gave the watch this ultra-modern, sporty, chic appearance that felt very different for Patek.
That launch feels like a brilliant read of the cultural climate, doesn't it? The 1990s, they were marked by those sort of unperturbed, carefree decades, as some put it. Business casual emerged.
Right. Formality was relaxing.
So how did a brand as steeped in tradition as Patek Philippe pivot to meet that shifting demand for a less formal watch?
You're right. The timing was perfect. As suits and ties became less of a strict requirement in many workplaces, Patek Philippe, which was known for its formality, had to consider how to appeal to customers seeking luxury in a more relaxed context.
So, adapt or risk becoming irrelevant to a new generation?
In a sense, yes. The Aquanaut was their answer. A watch that maintained Patek Philippe's incredibly high standards of excellence, but dialed up that casual aesthetic with its relaxed rubber strap and that distinct, almost grenade pattern dial.
It was a strategic move then.
Definitely. To broaden their appeal without compromising their core identity. And fast forward to today. I mean, while it's common now to see chunky, casual watches in the boardroom,
the Aquanaut itself has become a classic.
A stone-cold classic. It's smart, yet informal enough to pair with relaxed attire. And its fresh, modern simplicity is now just as much a part of the Patek Philippe heritage as the Nautilus.
And still a good investment.
Increasingly sought after as an investment, yes. Especially certain models.
Okay. Now, let's turn our attention specifically to ladies' watches for a moment. The 24 collection.
Ah, yes. Very important collection for the brand.
This iconic line, comprising both quartz and, more recently, automatic models. It was launched in 1999 with a really clear design intent, wasn't it?
Absolutely. It was designed to capture the spirit of the young, modern, active woman. A watch designed to fit in with every moment of her life. That was the idea.
And it was quite a significant moment, too, being Patek Philippe's first steel ladies' bracelet watch.
That's right. Featuring that distinctive rectangular manchette, or cuff design, with an articulated bracelet. Very elegant, very comfortable.
Very versatile, too, I imagine.
The versatility of the 24 is indeed a huge part of its appeal. It just effortlessly complements the latest fashions, classic evening wear, business attire, even casual outfits.
Dress it up or down.
Exactly. You can find these watches in diamond set rose gold or stainless steel. They've been a mainstay of the high-end watch market for over two decades now.
And they updated it recently.
They did. In 2018, the collection received a significant modern update with the launch of automatic self-winding models.
Moving beyond quartz for the main line.
Well, offering both. But these new automatic versions featured a round case, which was a big change, with a date aperture and sweep seconds. It gave this best-selling range a fresh makeover while still maintaining its luxurious, sophisticated silhouette and, of course, reliable timekeeping.
Keeping it relevant.
Always. Now, if we look at the broader historical picture, we have to talk about pocket watches.
Right, back to where it all began, in a way.
Exactly. Pocket watches hold a very special place in Patek Philippe's 180-year history. These were the dominant form of timekeeping until, really, World War I.
So decades of expertise there.
Decades. And hand-finished pocket timepieces make up a huge part of the brand's heritage. They truly exemplify that seal of tradition Patek Philippe is associated with.
Do they still make them?
They do, yes. While wristwatches have obviously taken preference, Patek Philippe still produces pocket watches today, but in very small numbers. They're primarily considered works of art now.
A canvas for their skills.
Precisely. They serve as a canvas for the brand's artisans to demonstrate exquisite enameling, gouache, you know, those intricate engraved patterns on metal.
Beautiful work.
Engraving and gem setting. True masterpieces.
And to tie it back to our earlier discussion, the Henry Graves Super Complication is just the ultimate prime example of their pocket watch artistry and mind-boggling complexity.
The absolute pinnacle, yes. A true testament to the skill involved in these pieces.
Now, beyond personal timepieces, Patek Philippe also creates these beautifully delicate and ornamental dome table clocks.
Ah, the dome clocks. Quite special.
They are quite a nostalgic rarity these days, aren't they? Which often translates to very good prices at auction, I hear.
They command strong prices, yes. And what's unique mechanically about these clocks?
Tell us.
Well, these are fascinating pieces mechanically because they are torsion pendulum clocks.
Torsion pendulum? How does that work?
Unlike a traditional pendulum that swings back and forth under gravity, a torsion pendulum has a weight suspended by a wire or spring, and it slowly twists on a vertical axis.
Okay.
This slow twisting allows for an incredibly long power reserve, often a year or even more, on a single winding.
A whole year. That's why they're sometimes called 400-day or anniversary clocks, right?
Exactly. It makes them objects of curiosity, and because they're made in such small numbers, scarcity among collectors.
And what's truly captivating here, visually, is how that generous, rounded surface of a dome clock becomes this perfect canvas for exquisite artisan skills, particularly the art of enameling.
Patek Philippe's dome clocks are almost synonymous with cloisonné enamel.
Cloisonné, can you explain that a bit?
Sure. It's a technique where intricate, multicolored paintings are created with the images outlined using tiny flattened gold wires. These wires form little compartments, or cloisons.
Okay, like little vaults.
Precisely. And these little compartments, or alveoli, as they're sometimes called, are then filled layer by layer with different colored enamel powders, which are then fired. It creates this enchanting, almost three-dimensional impression.
Just stunning artistry.
Absolutely. Each year, the brand presents a handful of these creations as one-of-a-kind pieces or very limited editions in its rarities collection. The designs often draw inspiration from nature animals and flowers. Things like the Frisian Islands, Japanese cranes, pink flamingos. Beautiful motifs.
Works of art, truly. Okay, finally, let's arrive at the Gondolo collection.
The Gondolo. Another unique part of the Patek story.
Established in 1993, this collection is unique because it consists entirely of form watches, meaning they aren't round.
Right, anything but round, basically.
Instead, these eye-catching timepieces favor square, rectangular cushion, or barrel-shaped faces. They really evoke the spirit of the Art Deco movement, don't they?
Strongly. That geometric feel is very characteristic of Art Deco.
And the Gondolo has such a rich and interesting backstory, deeply connected to Brazil, of all places.
It does indeed. A fascinating connection.
While the modern collection launched in the 1990s, it actually draws inspiration from watches Patek Philippe made specifically for the Brazilian market way back in the early 1900s.
How did that come about?
Well, it stemmed from a pivotal 50-year partnership formed way back in 1872 with Brazilian jewelers Carlos Gondolo and Paulo Laborio.
50 years. That's a long partnership.
It was huge. This collaboration made the Patek Philippe brand enormously popular in the Southern Hemisphere. In fact, get this. During World War I, Gondolo and Laborio apparently sold around a third of Patek Philippe's total annual production.
A third. Wow. Brazil was a massive market for them then.
Absolutely. And devoted Patek fans among the Brazilian elite even called themselves the Gondolo Gang. There are stories of them even sporting special Patek sombreros.
The Gondolo Gang. That's brilliant.
Isn't it? So for a brand often associated with classical minimalism, like the Calatrava, what was the significance of this bold departure in design philosophy with the Gondolo?
Well, I think it speaks volumes about Patek Philippe's willingness to cater to distinct market tastes, even early on, while always maintaining its absolute commitment to craftsmanship.
So flexibility within their standards.
Exactly. The Gondolo collection represents a clear departure from that minimalist philosophy we see elsewhere. It's characterized by those bold rectangular lines, the geometric shapes reminiscent of Art Deco. Each piece really nods to luxury and opulence.
More decorative, perhaps.
In a way, yes. It allowed them to revive some of the brand's most iconic historical watches from that Brazilian era, but infusing an element of subtle modernity to the entire collection up to date for the 1990s launch and beyond. This wasn't just about selling watches. It was about honoring a unique historical partnership and a specific aesthetic. It really showcased their versatility.
A fascinating journey through their collections.
So if we look at this incredible panorama, this whole picture, Patek Philippe isn't just selling timepieces, are they?
No, it feels like much more.
They're crafting a narrative of human endeavor, of artistry, of precision that spans centuries.
That's well put.
From the classic elegance of the Calatrava and the mathematical harmony of the Golden Ellipse, to the sporty innovation of the Nautilus and Aquanaut, the refined grace of the 24, the historical significance of their pocket watches, the artistic canvas of the dome clocks, and that Art Deco boldness of the Gondolo. Their collections just showcase an unparalleled breadth of design and technical mastery.
It's truly staggering when you lay it all out. What really resonates most with you from this deep dive? For me, from that very first wristwatch to the most complicated mechanical wonders, Patek Philippe just demonstrates this enduring commitment to excellence.
That consistency is key.
And these aren't just objects you wear. They really feel like a bridge between generations. A fusion of history, art, and cutting-edge engineering that truly embodies that idea of a legacy, meticulously crafted to be passed down.
Passed down, exactly. That heirloom quality is intentional.
So, considering Patek Philippe's journey, from creating the world's first wristwatch to manufacturing these mind-bendingly complicated mechanical masterpieces, what does the future hold? For an industry so deeply rooted in tradition, yet constantly pushing the boundaries of innovation and art.
That's the big question, isn't it? How do you balance heritage with progress?
It's a question that continues to drive the very essence of horology, I think. Something for all of us to ponder.